Computer. Yep. All set.
There he is. Okay, we think we're good to go here. I'll call a meeting to order at 6:04. First order of business here is a roll call vote to make sure that we can all hear each other and be heard. Mr. Corson, you're muted.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Main is here. Marjorie, can you
let us hear?
Thank
I'm
you.
Here.
And Christine, can you?
Here.
Okay. Looks like we're good to go. Next order of business is any public comment for items not on the agenda tonight. So if any member of the public, we have nine right now, would like to bring up any item that is not on the agenda, you can raise your hand now and we'll recognize you. Okay, I see no hands. David, do you see any?
No hands.
Okay, thank you. Okay, town reports. Marjorie?
I wasn't going to write anything down, but then earlier today I just wanted to get my thoughts straight on these things that I wanted to mention. Under the COVID-19 updates are a variety of things, which I wasn't sure if they fit under COVID-19, but I guess everything fits under that now.
That seemed to, yeah.
This week, I noted that the Maine Municipal Association wrote a letter to Governor Mills concerning the election and also how we're supposed to conduct the annual town meeting. Right now, both things are kind of up in the air. There's talk about making the elections totally absentee or a mixture of having the polls open and also, well, that's what we do now. And as far as the annual town meeting goes, even in July, the way the executive order is right now, we're still not going to be able to have a meeting with more than 50 people. And what they're trying to do is get some relief on that, because there are a lot of towns that still want to have their open town meeting, but we would be unable to do that. Just to mention that Wyndham has come up with a kind of a creative solution to have their town meeting actually in a couple of different venues with some equipment to link the two. You know, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but what I would imagine here is that maybe we set up a big tent beside the hall and people could still hear the selectmen, and some people could be in the hall and some people could be in the tent, but we may have to get creative like that. I don't know. To my knowledge, we have no cases of coronavirus on the island. Fire and rescue is very much prepared if we have to respond to someone. The CART group has issued a COVID-19 mental health resources document that I hope people will find helpful. It's posted around town and on different websites. Did someone say something? Okay. And we're still working on a FAQ document. It should be out at the end of the week to kind of update where the town is right now. Chris and I have also been working on a town office reopen plan. We're thinking about June 1st. When I went on this last manager's meeting for the Southern Maine managers, a lot of the towns are opening up this month. Some of them opened up this week. Some have said, you know, the 11th, some of the 18th, but a lot of them are opening in May. We have ordered a plexiglass shield for the counter, if you will, with an opening on the bottom so you can slide documents through. We're only going to allow one person at a time into the office, and we're going to ask that they wear a face mask. And some other towns are considering using a sign-up sheet, just so that we know who is coming, coming and going in the town office in case we ever need to know who has been in the town office if there's a positive case of coronavirus. That's all I had for COVID updates, COVID-related updates. Does anybody have any questions or anything about those items?
Marjorie, I have one question. In the memo that I found in the packet, you talked about using credit cards and not cash. Can you use checks as well as credit cards?
What memo is that?
I thought you wrote that in that administrator's report. I read it someplace today. I know I didn't pick this up, but that you weren't going to take cash because then it meant that people had to make change and all that.
It wasn't my memo.
It wasn't? Okay, I'll have to go back and figure out where I saw it.
It's a thought, but we hadn't thought about that issue. Mark had reminded me this week about the Chabique Island Inn and the payment for the fire watch, and I have not received that check. I contacted our attorney, and they contacted the Prentices, and Casey said that he would get that to us this week is what he said. But that's kind of the same old story that we always hear from the Chabique Inn, you know, promises, promises. And that's all I have in this.
One quick addition to Marjorie. They had 36 families turned up at the food pantry today.
Wow, and that's up from 20 last week. So that I thought 20 was good. That's great.
Well, I think a lot of people were hesitant to go, but we've really been I'm not really at the front of that organization, but they've really been saying, you know, look, if you're hesitant to go to the mainland and you need some things, please stop by. And I go myself and I just give a donation every time I go. Mm-hmm. And they're very appreciative and they have some nice fresh fruit and different things. You know, it's a good opportunity for people.
Yeah, the food's probably fresher than if you went to Hannaford's.
Unmute. You're muted.
Thank you. That concludes the town administrator's report. We'll get into regular business if there's nothing else in that segment. Okay, first item.
About the COVID. There's still a lot of confusion, I think, in the community about aspects of the governor's orders. And I had a call today from Carol Sebastianski, who was speaking with someone up there today because of trying to find out about the bus and what they would need to do and how to make that work if they ever bring the bus back. And she was talking to someone, and they thought that if we wanted to, that we could get somebody from the state to call into our CART meeting next week, which I think would be helpful to maybe answer some of our questions specifically. So I'm just putting that out there to make sure people think that would be okay to do that, if we can make it work.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. Okay. Okay, first item of regular business, 21039, town office internet upgrade. So you'll recall on 4-6, a motion was made, seconded and passed to provisionally approve. I'm going to read the motion just so that I know. Got it right here. Um, Motion by David Hill to provisionally approve one, installation of fiber optic cable at the town office, and two, installation of a heated and cooled cabinet at the town office, seconded by Mark Dyer. A vote four in favor and one against. Motion carried. So my understanding is that that work was completed. Do we have a do we have an invoice for that work, Marjorie? You're muted now.
No, I don't have anything.
But the work was completed?
I don't know exactly what was completed.
Okay, David?
The work was completed to the extent that the line was run from the pole to the building. The attachment to the building is scheduled for, I believe, next week, conditions permitting.
Okay. Just one note on that. The motion that I read, the provisional motion, really doesn't allow, give Marjorie authority to write a check out of any particular account to cover that cost. The wording of the motion being provisional in its nature. I don't know if anybody disagrees with that, but I left that meeting thinking that we hadn't allocated any funding for that. If anybody disagrees, I'm happy to entertain that. So the purpose of this motion here tonight would be to specify what account that money should come out of, and to, you know, what the amount would be. $4,303 was the quote that we received, David?
That's correct.
Okay. And then on a side note to that, my understanding is that Marjorie didn't know that work was getting done. And by the same token, I think anytime we work with contractors or do work on behalf of the town, that it really needs to go through Marjorie. And that, you know, there isn't really anybody else that's authorized to do that unless they're explicitly authorized to do that. So are there questions on the motion? Is there a motion, first of all?
Well, I would move that we take $4,303 from contingency account 8,300. And that said, well, I guess somebody has to second it first before I can say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, is there a second?
I'll second.
Mark will second. Go ahead, Donna.
See, I thought that we talked about that at several meetings, and I can't remember which meeting, but I thought that we decided that we were taking it out of contingency.
It's the way the motion was worded that raised confusion and didn't. I mean, the motion should have included, as most of our motions do, if we're taking money out of the contingency account, it's usually a motion so that it's clear for Marjorie.
I thought that we had two, that we had one motion, then we had another motion that night. I don't know. I can't remember. Everything's been so confusing, but I think just going forward, fixing it.
Yeah, but just, this is more to clarify it than anything. So is there discussion on the motion? Jay, go ahead.
I just, if memory serves, I don't have it right in front of me, but there was a two-part motion that David put forward.
I read the motion in its entirety out of the minutes. It did have two numbers. One was the installation of the fiber cable at the town office. The second was the insulated of a heated and cooled cabinet at the town office, seconded by Mark Dyer.
So my part of this was that they were supposed to be done at the same time because that was going to be a big cost saving, which is apparently not what's going on. When we discussed this last meeting, I think it was, we were going to get a sort of some firm numbers and firm proposals. And I have no problem with the $4,300 for upgrading the town office. You know, as the rest of it, I have a serious problem with, but that's another topic. So what exactly is what we're doing right now, finding out where we're going to pay the $4,300 from?
And I guess maybe David can enlighten us here exactly what that covers. So go ahead, David, you had your hand up.
Yeah, the $4,300 covers simply the cost of running the fiber optic cable to the town office and hooking it up. The rest of it, either I misspoke in the motion or it was captured wrong. The provisional part was only for the second part. As Donna mentioned, we'd talked a lot about doing the town office, and the second mistake was not mentioning the account that it was to come from. But again, that came out in the discussion prior to that when Marjorie said there would be enough in the contingency. So, this is. I don't know. I'm not going to make any excuses. This is just kind of a different way of doing business. And what we've got is a $4,100 charge to contingency to hook up the town office. Everything else is exclusive from that.
Okay. So the 4303 amount will actually put the office in service on the fiber optic network. And the only other charge in addition to that is a monthly charge. Where's that going to come from? And when does that service go into effect?
Well, that service can go into effect when we want it to go into effect. Jay has made allowance for that in the budget. And it's true. It's a new charge because for the past 10 or 11 years, the supplier of the internet service to the town office has provided it gratis.
So what's the answer to the question? Are we going to turn it on right away? And do we have funds to pay for the monthly charge?
That can be worked out. I mean, the idea of hooking it up right away is to get it done. And if we start service right away, we can work that out with Axiom, I'm sure.
Marjorie, do you see any problem with the monthly, which I think was what, $80 a month or something like that?
Depending on the level of service that we get, and I think $80 is the minimum.
It's
or is it $70?
70 to 110, and I don't know which one I'm supposed to choose.
I would choose the lower one for now, and if you need more, you get more later.
Yeah, agreed. And do we have funds for that, Marjorie, for the next, it's only going to be a couple of months at this point, I guess.
That's fine, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Any other comments on the motion? Is the motion specific enough to be clear to everybody? I mean, it is to me. It's the first part of the original motion and not the second part. Second part would be additional funds that we will talk about at another time. And there are no funds allocated for that other time. Okay, Chris?
I wonder if Donna should be more specific in the motion about that, because what I have right now is that she moves that we take 4303 from contingency account 8300, but she's not specific as to...
Oh, okay, I can add that.
Okay.
To connect the town office, to pay Axiom to connect the town office with a fiber optic cable. Does that do it?
Yeah. Are you okay with the second, Mark, on that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We ready to vote? Okay. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry to take the time to do that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Chip Emery appears to have his hand up.
I didn't open it up for. I apologize for that. Let's do that now. Although we've already voted. Thank you, David, for that. Chip, you're on.
That would be a mistake. Yeah.
With the hand being up.
I didn't.
Okay.
To raise the hand.
Okay. I thought you meant the motion.
No.
Okay.
Love this medium.
Yeah, I know. I thought we were doing pretty good for a while. We're out of practice already, just skipping a week. Okay. I think we're good on that motion. Thank you. And thank you, David. And thanks for allowing me to clarify all that. 21040 capital plan. So this was from an email from David who wanted us to reconsider the capital plan this meeting and consider editing table 7. I'm going to put it up on the screen because it wasn't, we looked at it the week before and I didn't ask it I didn't ask for it to be in the packet again. All right. So I will try to share that. Okay, so what we're looking at doing is, this is table 7, you'll remember it's the active projects. At the bottom of that table is the broadband fiber optic to premises planning. This was a placeholder we put in the plan, and I believe that we have an account in TRIO set up for that. Is that correct, Marjorie? 9034 is set up for that purpose?
I'm not sure it's in the TRIO accounting yet, but we set that number aside.
Okay, thank you. So what we don't have on that number, that 9034, and this is a question that goes a little bit beyond the question at hand here, which I'm fine to take up later, but when we create a new account, it really needs to be done at town meeting, and the purpose of that count has to be stated. So what I would propose is that we can go ahead and edit this document as it sits here with the motion or whatever motion the board would like to make, but we should at town meeting clarify that we're creating a new account for a specific purpose and we're requesting X number of funds to do that. And that should be sort of standard practice whenever we set up a new, especially a capital account number, because we are bound to spend the money out of that only for the purpose that was specified for. So it's our job to be clear about what that account is specified for. And back in table 6 is where we have the language. Back here, we have language that talks about what the purpose is. And as far as I'm concerned, and I'd be interested to hear any different from you, but when the town approves the capital plan or approved the capital plan, the idea is that this language here is what binds us to what we can use these funds for. Now, once they're allocated, like that $197,522, once that's allocated at town meeting, the public, the taxpayers, expect us to spend it for this purpose only, whatever's defined in here. So when we're looking at the capital plan, we should think about that in table 6. I'm not suggesting any changes tonight, but I am suggesting that before we go to town meeting, if this motion gets passed tonight and we end up trying to fund this effort, that we also add something to table 6 and bring it up at town meeting so that it's clear to all what the purpose of that account would be. Does that make sense to everybody? Does everybody kind of agree with that philosophy? Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the philosophy, but I don't remember us explicitly ever doing something like that, where we said we're setting up this new account with this particular number.
Well, I think you're right. We've never done that.
Okay. I just wanted to go. Okay.
Well, it was one of my reasons for doing the capital plan was that how else do you know what the funds were raised for unless it's documented right Somewhere? And so that was part of the purpose of doing this. And that is, in my mind, the purpose of this table in here and the purpose of having the town meeting sort of approve the capital plan on some sort of, you know, regular basis.
But just to follow up, don't we have to assign a number to it? I mean, doesn't it have to be created in TRIO before the town meeting? Is there a chicken and an egg here?
Well, I think we can, as Marjorie suggested, I think we could set aside a number and then suggest a funding level and a purpose. And then if it passes at town meeting, we put it into trio. That's what I would say. Go ahead, Marjorie.
If it's added to the budget, it'll be in there. It's not, there's nothing in the budget right now. If you approve $10,000 as part of the capital plan,
you'll have to add
go
it.
Into the budget. As,
yep.
I guess that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, so I guess if we approve, I guess if we approve it right now in order to put it in the budget, we need to assign that number in Trio. You're correct.
But isn't that true of any proposal that's made in our budget that goes to town meeting and it gets voted up or voted down? If it gets voted down, it gets taken out of the budget.
Well, the difference here is creating an account and a description of that account so that it's clear what we can use the money for. If we're raising money for an existing account, then hopefully the intent of that account is clear to the board, to the treasurer, and to the town administrator.
I don't have any problem with that. I just don't see if there's a problem at town meeting that it couldn't be backed out.
Yeah, no, there's no problem at all. I'm just, you know, me, the procedure police. I'm just trying to be really clear on you know, how this document interacts with what we're doing. And how we can use this document to keep the Board of Selectmen, understanding how we can spend money, and the public understanding how we can spend money, and everybody be on the same page. That's the only intent of this little diversion here. So I would accept a motion, which could be similar to what's on the agenda there. It probably should change the fiber to the premises description, but it doesn't have to.
I think it should.
Okay. Is someone prepared to make a motion?
Well, I'll make the motion to edit Table 7 to include a current appropriation of $10,000 and change the description to town ownership of infrastructure of broadband internet service on the island.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. I'm going to stop sharing. I don't think we need to see that anymore so that I can see members of the public. Okay, is there a discussion on the motion? David?
I just want to mention the genesis of this. In discussing what we would be doing out there outside of the town office in terms of some kind of a equipment shed or something, it came up in our discussions, and I say we with Axiom, that we don't know what's really happening with broadband. We're the Historical Society, I hope, is going to proceed to get hooked up down there. The state's talking about a $15 million bond issue. Would love to get a little bit of that. We have no idea what the feds are going to do. And the one good thing that may be coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic is more support for broadband around the nation. A lot of people are doing exactly what we're doing here tonight, and a lot of people can't do what we're doing here tonight. So that's why it's there. That's the source of it. And the idea, again, is to be ready for whatever comes along when it comes along.
Okay, Marjorie.
I have a couple of comments, and excuse my ignorance, but I don't understand what this means. Town ownership of infrastructure of broadband internet service. What does that exactly mean? What are we owning?
We don't know yet, but I think the idea is to be ready to fund something or to match a fund or to have at least a nest egg started to do that. It's really uncharted territory. And as for the wording, I would defer to Herb.
I took it out of your email.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Okay.
Then I'll take responsibility for it.
Marjorie.
It's to be ready to do whatever.
Marjorie, go ahead.
So this does not have anything to do with the what you were going to build here at the town office?
It could. But we don't know at this point.
It doesn't have anything to do with that 4303. That 4303 gets
totally
you fast, gets you faster internet service.
Well, this is a more of a broad definition.
Yeah, this is to take the next step without really defining specifically what the next step is.
And my second comment is just a general comment that, I listened to these Southern Maine managers, and everybody else is in a real panic about their budgets, and they're slashing funding for positions and all kinds of projects. I guess I don't hear any of that here. In fact, we're adding things to our budget. So this is just a general comment that I'm making to, you might want to think about these things. Everybody else is putting the brakes on and you're adding. So that's just a general comment about budget.
Okay, thank you. Donna, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, because I thought this money was going to go to build some kind of a cabinet that then it would be like a launching pad for sending this fiber in different directions.
It might. But at this point, as I say, the funding sources are so up in the air, the whole world's up in the air right now. That might be exactly where it ends up going. And we'll talk about that when we have a more, firm plan in mind.
Okay. Mark had his hand up next, and then Jay.
Yeah, that was kind of my understanding at our last discussion, David, was that this 7,000 to 10,000, whatever the number started at, was possibly going to go towards building a cooled and heated distribution building out the back of the fire station. So that's no longer a plan that is going to be implemented right away, at least?
Not right away. As I say, the question has to do with funding. The question has to do with the location of the facility. We might want to put it down next to where the clam shack is. And there are just too many unknowns to want to put it in the budget from my perspective, too many unknowns to want to do that at this time. And at the same time, too many opportunities that are coming up in the future to just drop it.
Go ahead, Mark, you can follow.
Sorry, just a follow up. So this proposal to put $10,000 in as a new account for broadband with a new number for a town meeting to consider, is this basically to get an amount of money in to the broadband line item for possible better positioning for grants?
That could be. It could end up being the beginning of a match for some kind of a grant. It could be moving ahead with the equipment shed as planned. The idea really is to put aside some money to do whatever we need to do in this area.
Thank you.
Jay?
I sort of feel like we've been down this road once before in a lot of ways, and the community said no thank you. And so we're bringing it back up because I know, David, you want to get this infrastructure piece for Axiom put in place. And I keep hearing that money could be used for that. It could be used for a whole bunch of different things. It's sort of like having a little pot of gold there ready to go for whatever turns up. And I think that the purpose of a capital planning document is in fact to have a plan and to have something in mind, not just sort of, let's have a little stockpile of money over here so that when something comes up, we can use it. So I'm very concerned that, we've been down this road. The town voted against it, not exactly in this form, clearly, but the concept. And if we want to go down this path again, then let's have a plan and a program, not sort of let's stockpile some money because it seems to me that clearly, David, you've got in mind using this for whatever this air-conditioned, heated lab thing or building or whatever it is. You know, I would like to see a lot more definition of what it's going to be used for and what's the purpose. Because otherwise we're just stockpiling some money. As Marjorie points out, every other community in this state and across the country is looking on what they're spending.
Chip, excuse me, hold on just a second. Chip, you're still unmuted. Could you mute again? Actually, I can mute you. Okay, I've muted you, Chip. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, that's pretty much covers what I wanted to say.
Okay, go ahead, David.
Well, I would challenge anybody to come up with a definitive list of what each and every one of our items on our list would actually include. We don't know exactly how we're going to build a wharf. We don't know exactly how long the ramps are going to be. We don't know what kind of a fire station we're going to build. We can go on and on and on and on. The purpose of a fund such as that is to plan for future expenses, not necessarily have a complete blueprint of what they're going to be. We don't know what kind of a fire truck we're going to get. It goes on and on. I don't see that as a valid reason to not put away some money for what's coming up probably in the very near future.
Okay, so I sort of am in halfway between Jay and David on that particular topic. I do think we can do a better job planning than we have done in the past, and we are moving in that direction. So it would be nice to move in that direction and have a clear plan. This does seem to put out a clear concept, and I would agree with Jay that it's unclear what really the town was voting for. They were voting not to bond $1.6 million. I don't know that they were voting that the town should not own some of the infrastructure. It wasn't clear to me from town meeting that was the case. It was more about the dollar amount. This does provide an opportunity to put out the question, especially the way it's worded, with the description, which I thought was good, David, to give you credit instead of blame.
Thank you.
it does bring out, you know, if this part of it didn't pass, then town ownership of the infrastructure is really what we're voting on and what we're discussing. And it seems to me the Board of Selectmen doesn't understand that or hasn't come to an agreement on whether the town should own broadband infrastructure or not. I think there's varying opinions, and I waffle back and forth myself on that. But it is probably something that this board probably needs to get clearer about on its own, and not a bad idea to get some buy-in from town meeting on that. It would help if it were a specific plan for town ownership that we could sell at town meeting. So I agree with Jay that some more specificity would be really good. I do think we know what kind of fire truck we want in a general way. The next one in the order of business is a new tanker truck. So I think it's, you know, this level of specificity is somewhere in between the conversation that you two guys just had, for me anyways. Donna, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. I think I kind of wanted to say something similar, but to what David was saying about the various funds that we do have. I mean, we have the cemetery, for example, has a fund where they've put money aside to someday expand the cemetery. Now, we don't know what that would look like. We don't know how much it would cost, but we know it has something to do with, if we run out of grave space, that we're at least thinking that sometime we need to do something. And I kind of look at this as the same, in the same vein, is that at some point we have to do something. And I thought that we had a more specific plan, but I'm okay with just setting 10,000 in here for the time being. next year, if we don't have a better plan, I don't know how much more money I'd be willing to put in. But I think it's a starting point.
Other comments? I do want to underscore what Marjorie said. I have tried to bring this up at several discussions, especially regarding the capital plan. Our budget is right now $60,000 down from what it was last year. We know that there was $110,000 of one-time costs in last year's budget. So to actually sort of flat fund, the budget should be down $110,000, you know, one way to look at it. The budget is actually going up, even though it looks like it's going down, our operating budget, that we're using some of that $110,000, you know, one-time charge last year to fund new things this year. So we are expanding our funding, and we need to be thoughtful about that. And especially at this time, I'm more apt, as Marjorie suggested, to be really conservative. So if I don't vote for this, that's going to be the reason. If it were accompanied by taking $10,000 out of something else, for example, the revaluation reserve or some other thing that we've, prioritizing things in a different way, I would be more likely to go for it. So that's where I'm at right now. Any further discussion before I open it up to the public? Okay, having said that, I will open it up to the public. Anybody can click to raise your hand and we will recognize you if you want to speak on the topic. Okay, I don't see any hands. David, do you concur with that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, ready for a vote? Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main, I'm going to vote no for the reasons I stated. So passes 3-2. Okay. Next topic is drainage easements with a very cryptic message underneath. So Caps Road project easement extents. So that was to really prompt me into a little description. We talked about this many, many times, and I didn't want to burden too much. I think Marjorie made the case. We discussed it quite a bit at a recent meeting, and Marjorie basically laid it out very clearly for us. But according to my notes, and conferring with Marjorie, we didn't give her clear guidance on what the next step should be. So the purpose of this is to give Marjorie some direction on what the next step should be. If the board wants, I have prepared, I can pull up the plan so that we can discuss specifically what the topic is. But let me summarize it in this way. We paid for a design and we paid for a survey from two separate companies. The design shows, rocks down at the base of the base of the little cliff embankment there and down on the embankment where the water is currently going. And the engineer's plan actually shows those rocks kind of drifting out onto the two pieces of property that are Tonks and the Caps property, merchant property. And the surveyor looked at that and said, well, I don't think you really need to include those, so I'm not going to survey those properties. So the extent of the surveyor's survey included the Hubble property and I think the Swarthmore property, but not those other two properties. So I think the topic of discussion was, do we need to pursue easements for the other two properties as well, even though we probably don't need to disturb the property, but we'd be standing the water over it the same way we are now. So that's one sort of aspect of it. And then the other aspect, and I thought this was the way the board was going, that we should be conservative and that we should go ahead and pursue that. And does that mean that we need to do more surveying, and should we direct Marjorie to do more surveying before she pursues all the easements? So again, this is sort of a clarification motion. I think I understood what the board wanted to do instead of Marjorie, but we just, my notes weren't clear and our discussion wasn't clear. But Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think I'm the person who really was pushing this the last time. And what I was trying to say is that I thought we should get a legal opinion, because the surveyor basically said we did not need to have an easement from Tonks. And my point was, Tonks's property has eroded, but it's still in front of Hubble. So that once the water runs over Hubble, which Tonks is the one who owns the rights to low tide, not Hubble. And so I felt that we needed a legal opinion to, if either that or just make an opinion ourselves, because I don't know how you can do that without having Tonks involved. And I talked to Marjorie today, and we went back and read over the surveyor as notes. And basically he said, well, this is what I've done, this is what I think, but if you want me to do more surveying on Tonks, I can. So it's almost like, I just think we're opening ourselves up for something if we don't do it right, because I know that line goes in front of Hubble. So once the water goes down through the riprap, it's going to then go on to Tonks.
Exactly. Okay, so can we make a motion to direct Marjorie to that effect? And let's see where that conversation goes. Would you be willing to do that, Donna?
Well, do you mean getting in touch with the town attorney?
Direct Marjorie to get a legal opinion, unless we have consensus and Marjorie's happy with the consensus. I just want to be clear, because it hasn't happened.
Let's ask Marjorie.
Marjorie's muted, and I need to let Jay talk too. Go ahead.
Who's first, Jay?
Marjorie, go ahead.
Think of your mind.
Yeah.
Take a ticket.
Back in November of 2019, we asked Natalie Burns, our attorney, about whether we should be even getting these drainage easements. And her comment was, it is my recommendation that the town have a survey done for the drainage easements, because it is a permanent easement. A less well-defined description could be problematic in the future. So she's not speaking specific to Tonks or some specific property, but she advised us to get the drainage easements. So I can go back to her if you want.
Okay, Jay, go ahead.
Okay. Aren't we asking Tonks for an easement?
The surveyor is recommending that we don't need to. He didn't survey it, so we can't construct an easement without a survey, so that we know to what extent the easement's going to cover the property. The survey has to show the easement going over the property. But Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, because basically the surveyor said that he didn't feel that Tonks was impacted because of where the riprap was. And I think he was thinking about it along the bank, as opposed to what I'm thinking about it is in front.
I think he was thinking about the disturbance. The engineering plan, you could pull back that stuff to keep on our property, but the fact of the matter is the water's still going out. So
why don't we, has anybody talked to Phil lately?
Marjorie, go ahead.
Yes, I've talked to him. He might be on this meeting.
There's a couple of phone. There's a
couple of telephone numbers. There's one that's 802. I don't know who 802 is. I don't know where 802 is, actually.
I believe a telephone participant can raise a hand.
We'll open it up in a second to, and then we can debate more after that.
Just making that point, unless they're strictly on the telephone and not on the screen at all.
They can still do it with like pound nine.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead. We've got 10 attendees, so it's not a huge amount. Let's go ahead and open it up for public comment for anybody who wants to Do we have a motion and a second, right? Am I correct? Are we do?
No, we don't have a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're
still in discussion, trying to get information.
Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and open it up for public comment, anyways, on the information front. If there's anybody that can shed any light on anything, go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, there you go, Rich Hubble. Go ahead, Rich. You will have to unmute yourself, I think.
I gotta let the warning get out of the way.
There he is.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, okay. So I sent an email to Marjorie about a week ago regarding this. And I had heard from Phil. And Phil had expressed in an email I saw a copy of that he thought his land was impacted. And having looked at the property boundaries and read surveys or read property descriptions for several years, it had always seemed that the shoreline actually was owned in part by Merchant and by Tonks, and that neither Swafford or Hubble actually went to the shore. Now, there's been erosion. There are interesting questions about how you read the different deeds. Alex Swafford, I had a discussion with her about a week ago as well, and she took some issue. I don't know if she wrote back to Marjorie on this or not, but there was some issue about whether or not the survey of her property, it didn't seem to match the survey she had done a year and a half ago. There seemed to be some issues about where the point down in the at the end of the shore or in the on the beach or wherever it was. And so I also went back and looked, and I expressed this to Marjorie in my email, is I looked at this plan, the engineering drawing, for where things are going to be to try to match up where it was with this 40-foot easement. And it's not clear to me that there's actually enough room in the 40-foot easement that's been laid out, which doesn't include Conks or Merchant, to actually contain where the project's going to be, including the amount of room you'd need to construct it, because you're probably going to need a little bit of land to the side to get equipment on or whatever. You can't build right to the edge of the easement. There's also an issue which is not reflected in the engineering drawings, which is the very upper end at Caps Road. Pete Mahar and I looked out, sort of walked through the field 2 years ago to figure out exactly where this thing would be, because his initial drawings were that this was approximately where things would be, but that field conditions might mean it'd be a little bit different. And so the actual in the field layout would likely have a little bit wider movement to the west, so that 40-foot wide easement might have to be 50 feet at Capsis Road when it finally hits Capsis Road, or maybe 55 feet or something like that. So one of my questions to Marjorie on my email was, would it be possible to have a joint meeting, maybe by this method, with the surveyor and Pete Mahar and maybe myself, to clarify whether or not the projected plan actually fits on where the surveyors put it on the land. I also would comment that I think if Phil feels that his land is going to be crossed, then it may not make any difference whether we have a legal opinion or what the surveyor says or whatever, because to my mind, somebody who's in a butter to this thing or thinks their land is going to be crossed and you don't get an easement from them, they could be very upset and really throw a wrench in the works. Originally, I had gotten a quasi easement from him, an indication that he'd be willing to sign an easement when the project was funded and better understood. And Alex had essentially said the same thing. So I just think we need to clarify better where this project is relative to what he surveyed, and take into account that the land that, you know, I don't know what's going to be there or not, but it's easier to get an easement from somebody and not need the land. Or not need quite as much of it than it is to go put a backhoe on somebody's property and then have them get all ticked off about it.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Donna?
Yeah, one of the things that when Marjorie read to me today was from Dan Diffin. It was from a conversation, but his recommendation that we should get easements from everybody, just so all four parties, just in because of the fact the way water runs, and, or doesn't run, or whatever. Yeah. Because I think they said something in that note about the fact that water changes course. And we know that because this line was redefined in, it was laid out in the early 1800s and redefined in 1901. And I'm sure that if you redefined it again, you would find it someplace else because it goes to a spring in the bank.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Marjorie.
I have another question or concern about the project in that we don't really have an appropriation of funds for this specific project, nor have we come up with what we think is the total cost. I mean, we've thrown around figures like $45,000 or $50,000. There's been a lot of discussion in the past about who's going to pay for what. Are the neighbors on Caps Road going to pay for a percentage? But no, there's no clear path in that direction. I know that the town, we just paid $3,800 for that's the survey that we just got. I can't remember how much we paid CV and Mahar. I'd have to go back and look that up, but I think it was at least $3,000 or $4,000. So I just want to think, I'm always the one worrying about the money, but you know, just think about that as we move forward. You know, what direction are we going in? And are we actually prepared, after we get these drainage easements, are we really prepared to move forward with this project?
Okay, appreciate that.
We've got Rich with his hand up.
Yeah, a clarification. So the town spent on the CV Mahar business about $8,000, $8,500, somewhere in that line. And I spent another $4,000 of my own money to have them complete the work and do the expansion of it over to the area it was where it's designed to go now. He had originally put it more over Tonk's property, and then we redid that one, and I paid the extra $4,000 for that work.
Thank you, Rich. Okay, where are we at, folks? We need to give, if we want Marjorie to do a next step, we need to give her some clear direction.
I guess the question is, do we feel, I mean, we don't have to get a legal opinion if we think we need to get something from everybody.
Yeah, that's where I thought we ended up as a group last time, but we haven't done that. So that would mean just going and getting a resurvey, having him include the other two properties in the survey, and then see if that's enough to do easements, right? I mean,
right. And at that time, Rich said, have him make sure it's in the same place, in the right place. Maybe we should have Dan Diffin look at the plan, you know, the survey, and see if he thinks it's right. I'm not sure what Rich means by it not being enough space.
Let me
he said he didn't need to revise the drawings. I don't know.
Who said that?
Dan said on March 15th, 2020, because of this, we don't see the need to revise the drawings to avoid one or both of the downstream properties.
Right. So can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so the top drawing is the CV Mahar plan. The bottom drawing is the surveyors. So it's hard, at least for a layman, and I work for CV Mahar, and it's hard for me to figure out from these two plans, you know, what that actually means, and whether 40 feet is enough or not. Now, there are other options for, there are construction easements we can get, which are temporary. So the width of the easement, hopefully the engineers, know enough to do that. are known enough to provide enough room for construction. I'm not sure we can second guess that. But to determine if it's in the right place or not, it is common for these engineering drawings to be, you know, somewhat conceptual in nature, in that when you get in the field and you have to change things, you do. And typically what we do on big projects is we do a set of design drawings like this. After it's built, we do a set of what's called as-built drawings that take that into account. Now, when you've got a constraint like an easement going on here, to Rich's point, they have to agree in pretty good terms. So physically laying out where these things are on the face of the earth, in other words, like driving stakes in the ground, by both parties, the surveyor and the engineer, and making sure that all of the abutters can go look at those stakes and see it might be the right way to do that. But I'm open to suggestions. But I think as a next step, certainly the resurvey probably makes sense. It was it well enough marked, Rich, the survey that he did? Did you see the survey, or did anybody see the survey after they
got it right in front of me? And I saw it earlier. Marjorie had sent it to me earlier.
On the face of the earth, I mean.
Well,
you know, like stakes.
Well, Pete Mahar and I put stakes in 2 years ago, and they're still there for various center lines and various extensions, particularly at the bank, about where the project and the riprap would go. They're still there, I believe, unless they fell down this winter. And so I think the keyest thing I can look at here is if you look on the survey, you can see that thing out in that far point where it says stairs and a little ramp off to the side. And you can see that the little ramp off to the side ties into a line. I can't really point to this thing, I don't think. Is there a function that I can use to point?
You can share your screen. We don't see yours. You mean on my screen?
Well, you can see the stairs are surrounded on the uphill side of the bank by this sort of rectangular. In fact, it's labeled in the survey. It says top of bank. And it goes along at a diagonal across here, and then it scoots around behind the stairs or uphill of the stairs, and then back down. And part of that section that's going back down, it's over by merchants. That little ramp connects, lets the merchants get to the stairs. And it all is gullied in there. That's why the top of the bank is carved back like the way it is. And so some portion of the top of the bank is on Alex's property in that little triangle down there. And if you look in the drawing of the project, it's pretty clear that the riprap is going to have to go all the way across in this, fill up this whole hole here where the stairs are, and maybe even go a little bit further to the, I guess it would say, northwest.
I don't think there's any question about the fact that we need to include these other two properties. I think we're there. What right. I think we need to do is sort of figure out what the next step is. If the next step is just having the surveyor redo the survey, then we could maybe have a meeting, as you suggest, mm-hmm. redo the survey, including those two pieces of property. That might be all that we need to do. All I was asking was, is it clear on the face of the earth between the surveyor and the engineers and the abutters where everybody thinks these pieces of paper indicate, you know, the project?
There are stakes. They're 1-inch square oak stakes with I don't know what's still there or not, but with surveyor orange tape, you know, tied to the top of them.
Yeah.
That mark the extent of the top of the riprap at the bank, at the top of the bank.
Right. And Peter, the engineers did that. Yeah. My question was, did the surveyor do something similar?
Well, I don't know. That's my question. When I looked at this, I said, it seems to me as if it's not clear to me that the project as planned fits on what was surveyed.
Okay.
So there's a major chunk of, and I'm not saying, you know, the CV and Mahar drawing that sort of approximated where property boundaries were is right, but half of the project is on top of Swofford's little triangular tip there, according to the engineering drawing, and the other half is on my property.
Right.
And as you go down the riprap, as Donna said, you are crossing the Tonks land. And I don't know whether the surveyor read the Tonks' deed and property description, but it is sort of bizarre. I'm sure Donna's familiar with it, but it says that their land goes from the high water mark back into the spring 18 or 20 feet, and then back over to the stone wall at the head of, on the top of the bank over at their property. And the surveyor here just said, oh, it's just a straight line. Bingo, right out there, didn't take any account. And I don't even know legally whether that kind of description means that Phil never loses his shorefront until Shebeg is totally underwater. And I lose it, which is what I have interpreted it over the years, or whether Phil has lost all his property there and doesn't have any shorefront. And his email said he didn't think that he had lost his property. He wasn't about ready to just give it up by not having an easement.
So, okay.
It seems to me to send him out to resurvey it, be more careful, read the deeds. You know, it's a lot easier to do the survey and just say, hey, these three properties don't have to be included than it is to go try to resolve where all these points are out in the middle of this morass of water and muck and sand.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to come to a conclusion on that. And my attitude is, if Phil feels that, you know, it's going over his property, then it seems to me the easy solution is to draw the easement that includes his property and get an easement from him, rather than trying to say, no, you don't own that land. It's not yours. We're going to build this thing without you.
Yeah, I don't know what the surveyor is. It's kind of pointless for us to.
That's why I suggested we have a meeting to find out what the surveyor actually did and whether he looked at the plans, how carefully he looked at them. And I think if the surveyor and the engineer talked about what was there and take a look at where the stakes are on the land, because that's what the engineer put down.
Yeah.
To try to give this some, I mean, he basically put out all the stakes on the land so that neighbors could see where this thing was going to be built. And that's, it's sort of the first step of as built, you know, was putting him, as it was staking out where it ought to go.
Okay. So we're not going to solve this as a board of selectmen. So what is our proposal? What is our direction to Marjorie at this point? We need to, if we don't think we need a legal opinion, I don't really want to go around the bush with questioning surveyors and questioning engineers too many times. It's just going to add cost to the project that we don't need. And same thing with legal advice. At some point, we just need to make the decision and move forward or not. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm prepared to say that we need easements from everybody, but we will have to have some kind of survey or some kind of a description for the other three properties, because we only have a description for what would be coming from Rich Hubble. So the only way to get that is to have the surveyor survey where it will intersect.
And when you say description, can you enlighten us what you mean?
What I mean is there's got to be a description of when you create an easement. You've got to say from here to here, you know, this many feet. If Phil Tonks is giving something, we've got to know what is it he's giving, not just we're going to let it go over your property wherever it is. I don't think anybody'd sign that.
Okay. And the surveyor, you're suggesting the surveyor only surveyed on the Tonks, on the Hubble property, is that correct?
Well, he surveyed Swofford too. Am I in?
But yes, you are. Yes, we can hear you.
So he surveyed Swofford and he surveyed the two Hubble properties.
But I don't think that he wrote an easement about Swofford, but maybe Marjorie got that.
Then he came back and said the only easements need to be on the two Hubble properties.
Right. And that's what I mean.
Okay. Is saying, well, my property wasn't surveyed exactly right. And Phil has said, I think this thing crosses my property. So Merchant hasn't said anything, by the way, and they've been copied on at least some of the emails. So,
Okay. What's our pleasure, board? Go ahead, Marjorie.
So this goes back to March 23rd, when I asked David Bouffard, the surveyor, some of these questions. He said, referring to the Tongs property, he said, without going into a lot of detail regarding the location of Tongs property, and I can do that if you like, I can certainly put together a blanket easement for Tongs. However, I think your idea of shortening the length of the riprap would be best. That was one idea that came up at a meeting.
Yeah. Which implies that we don't need an easement to push water out over property, which we have agreed we should be probably conservative on that, especially in this case. And I, you know, my philosophy on these easements is they really need to get water from point A to point B very clearly, and this, that would be the only way to do this here. Okay, do we have some direction from Marjorie, some clear direction? Donna, got any ideas?
Do we need a motion?
Jay had his hand up, but I didn't see it before. Go ahead.
I was going to say, why don't we go back to the surveyor, ask him to include the Tonks property and whatever else needs to be included, so that we'll be able to create the easements that way that covers everybody, and we're not, you know, we go forward from there.
Okay, and the other thing that Rich is asking for clarification on is, can the project physically be built in what the surveyor has marked there? And I don't know how to provide assurance of that, other than suggesting the kind of meeting or having the surveyor and the engineer stand at the top of the project and look down and agree. But perhaps the kind of meeting that he was talking about makes sense. But before we even do that, we've got to survey the merchant and Tonks's property and include them in this survey, I would think. Go ahead, Donna.
Well, I was just going to say, I think just looking at when you put those up today, I haven't looked at this for a while, but if you did an overlay, I can see what Rich is talking about, because the space on the surveyor's plan, it shows nothing about Swofford. So in order for it to be big enough, it's going to have to include Swofford. So I don't understand where the surveyor was on this. So I think you're right. I think what we need to do, and I think Jay's right, and I don't know if he wants to make that into a motion, that I guess we go back to the surveyor and have him look at those other three properties and come up with description of whatever an easement would have to be, a drainage easement over those properties.
But it's okay, Marjorie, I'm sorry.
It's going to cost more money.
Right, that's my point. Marjorie, what can we do to make this clear, to provide you enough direction so you know what to do next?
Tell me what you want me to do. I'm hearing the only thing I've gotten out of this so far is that there seems to be a consensus that we need an easement from all four property owners.
Does correct? Anybody disagree with that?
That's okay, correct.
Yes, we have a consensus.
So in order to do that, I've got to go back to the surveyor. And so I need a motion to approve. I don't know how much money it would be, and it would be out of the easements and drainage reserve fund.
What do we have for balance in there? Do you have an idea?
I just looked at it.
Yeah, I did too.
56.
50,000?
56,222.
All right, and some of that is for Firehouse Road. And right. some of that is for this project. So let's have a, go ahead, Jay.
I make a motion that we ask Marjorie to go back to the surveyor to complete the project to include all four properties that are involved, so that we can gain an easement for the drainage.
And the money?
The money to come out of the drainage and easements, which is 9058.
I'll second that with a friendly amendment that we are specific about the two Hubble properties, which we already have done, Swofford, Merchant, and Tonks.
You okay naming them specifically, Jay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Chris, you clear on that?
So this is to...
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
More survey work done in order to prepare easements.
Correct.
Yep. Does that do it for you, Marjorie? Is that clear enough?
Did you want any cap on the money or just pay whatever it is?
That's a good point.
Well, if it's $2 million, come back to us.
Oh, come on, Donna.
Picky.
I would be happy using your judgment, Marjorie. It certainly should be less than the original amount because it should be less work.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure.
Yep. No, that's fine. That's fine. And I want to be clear, but, you know, and I want the board to be clear. Okay. So I'll open the motion up for discussion. Any discussion from the board?
Rich has his hand up.
Yeah, I see that, but from the board first. Thank you, David. Okay, hearing none, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, thank you for that. Motion seems like it will cover things with all five properties identified. I was just gonna say, I'm offering to meet or talk with the surveyor regarding trying to, I think there needs to be communication between the engineer and the surveyor in this resurveying process to make sure that there's actually enough land being set aside. I mean, I mentioned a couple things earlier, but I think if there's a discussion with the surveyor, maybe it's a meeting on the land when they're doing this, we will likely have fewer, we won't be back here again doing the same thing because something else got missed. And maybe that doesn't even have to be put in the motion, but you know,
yeah.
The process ought to include the surveyor's work ought to include some kind of consultation with the engineer.
Marjorie, would you be comfortable as part of this to just sort of check in with, I guess Dan Diffin's our contact there with the engineering firm. Would you be comfortable just informing him on what we're doing here and seeing what he needs to get from the surveyor in order to be sure that the project can be done within the easement? The question is, we need some insurance, and does the board feel the same way? Do we need some assurance that the project can actually be built in within the easement as it's surveyed? Yeah, there seems to be consensus on that. So I don't disagree that that can be resolved before we take this up next and decide what the next step would be.
That sounds good.
Okay. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing is I would suggest that the surveyor maybe reach out to Alexandra Zog, Swofford, because if she has concerns that her survey is different than the survey he had, we might as well get that resolved at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know how that business works with surveyors, but you have much more experience than I do, but don't want to
usually
pay.
They like to see somebody else's survey, you know, and maybe that hasn't been registered and maybe he doesn't even know it exists.
It's possible. Yeah. So Marjorie, will you make the surveyor aware of the Swofford? In fact, we have it, right?
What's that?
We have the Swofford survey?
I'm not sure.
I think I've seen it. Does anybody else? Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, make him aware that's there. A recent survey, Donna, what was that?
That was the one where they discovered the road with the issues with the road.
About what year?
Within the last 3 years.
Okay, thank you. Good enough. So just make him aware that there's a survey on the Swofford property within the last 3 years.
We're not readdressing the issue that she has with the neighbors over where the shed and
no
property line and all that nonsense.
No,
this is just the easement area.
It's the area down where they come together down by the shore.
Okay, I just don't want to revisit
Agreed.
No, no.
The neighborhood problems.
Agreed. Okay, are we ready for motion? Okay. Let's read. Chris, can you read the motion back? Is that possible at this point?
I have parts of it, but it won't be complete until I listen to it again. It's possible.
Okay.
It's move to ask the town administrator to go back to the surveyor for more work in order to get easements from all. I have four property owners. The money to come from easements and drainage reserve.
And the only thing we added to that was we enumerated the exact names of the property owners.
Right. I said the two Hubble properties. So there's really five distinct properties. Hubbles have two. Tonks has one. Merchants has one, and Swofford has one.
Okay, so the motion stands as Marjorie just read it, with the exception that after the five properties, we'll enumerate the property owners' surnames that are on the deed. Okay, is it clear enough? Okay, take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Okay, we good on this for now?
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
You too.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay. So the next order of business is 21042, which is a liquor license, to approve a liquor license application for the Slow Bell Cafe. And as we recall, these are licenses that are issued by the state. It's more of a courtesy that we get asked to approve them. And our approval signifies that we understand that it's the state will be free to grant this. David.
Yeah, move to approve a liquor license for the Slow Bell Cafe.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Jay, thank you. Is there a discussion? Okay, are we okay voting without Mark? I'm not sure he knew what was coming next. I don't think he'd have left if he had a strong feeling about it.
It came so fast.
Do you want to wait for him?
I think we should.
Okay, I'm fine doing that. Well, I got two more items.
I'll need signatures on this as well as a couple of treasurer's warrants.
Okay.
Will they be out there tomorrow?
Have them ready for tomorrow? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
What time tomorrow?
I get here somewhere between 7:30 and 8.
So after 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
9 o'clock?
Hey, Mark, that's all right. We wanted to wait for you before we voted. There's been a motion. We're taking up the liquor license application for the Slow Bell.
Yep.
And there's been a motion to approve it and a second. There was no debate, but before we voted, we wanted to let you get back and just participate in that. Do you have any comments? Okay, I'll take a roll call vote. Any comments from the public on this matter before I do that? Seeing no hands, we'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon? You're muted, Donna.
I was giving my husband directions on how to make supper. Sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Hill?
Didn't know you could order out. Yes.
Mr. Main, passes unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Next item, 21043, is the county tax, and we've talked about this a couple of other times. Marjorie's given us a couple of recommended motions that I'll put up on the screen just for clarity. Okay, so the amount that we need need to come up with is $79,106.50. And you will recall that that is because the county is changing their fiscal year. And so that burden is apparently on us, not on them. So we have an option of paying it as a lump sum in the year 2022 budget. So this will not affect the budget next year. Or the budget that we're bringing to town meeting this year. And then the second option, they provided an option to spread that over 2 to 5 years, but with a 1% interest paid to Cumberland County. So again, they're putting the burden on us. And Marjorie has given us an example. If it's 2 years, the cost, well, let me do it the way she read it. If it's if we do it over 5 years, the maximum, then that adds about $2,000 to the overall cost. And Marjorie, is the amount per annum then something like $16,000 per year we would have to raise? Just ballpark. I just divided $80,000 by five.
Yeah, I thought you just wanted the interest cost.
I did.
I didn't figure out.
But I mean, that's ballpark, right? It would be that amount divided by five.
I can't find my worksheet.
Okay. Okay. Something in that order, though.
I mean, yeah, it would be about $16,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus a little bit of interest.
Plus the interest, right? For a 2 year period, which would basically be $40,000 a year, we would have to raise more or less. That would cost us an extra $1,186.60. So that's the gist of the two, the choices that we have. We have first the choice between one and two, and if we pick two, then we have to pick the number of years. So there was discussion that sort of led us down the path of spreading it out some originally. If we now look at the burden to taxpayers and what that might look like going forward, that seems to sort of underscore that idea, even if it costs us a little bit. So I'll take a motion if somebody has one ready. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I move that we pay the...
Why don't you read it right off of there if you're comfortable with the language right on there.
Okay. Number two, move to budget for the additional 6 months, January to June 2021 Cumberland County budget over 5 year period, beginning with 2022 Town of Chabig Island budget at an additional cost of 1% interest paid to Cumberland County.
Okay, thank you. Good motion. Is there a second to that motion?
Yeah, I'll second that and make the comment that 1% is pretty cheap money, and even though it costs more, it might help us keep the tax rate down in the long run.
Okay. Further comments on that motion? Okay, I'm going to stop. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
I just, from a fiscal point of view, I would suggest that we do this over 2 years. I realize that it's going to cost us more for those 2 years, but those 2 years reflect the time in which we would be paying it. And it just keeps our expenses more in line with reality. Deferring it for an extra 3 years while it keeps the per annum cost down. It's like we're borrowing money to pay a tax that's due and extending it to do that. And that's just financially, it's not a great idea. I mean, not that it's a huge deal, but
yeah.
It's not a great approach to things.
Do you want to try to amend the motion?
Well, I don't think that it would be taken as a friendly amendment. So I put those thoughts out there.
Okay. Donna?
Yeah, my feeling is this isn't anything that we asked to have happen. And so it's not like one of those things that we can plan for. We still have to pay the regular tax every year to the county. And we're talking about $1,200 over 5 years. And it gives us the flexibility in those years coming forward to maybe do something that else that we needed to do. I mean, we're talking if we did it all at once, if we did it over 2 years, it's a much bigger hit. And I guess that's why if we were talking about $12,000 instead of $1,200, then I would agree with Jay maybe.
Mark?
But aren't we actually looking at $2,373?
We are.
But what I'm saying is it's $1,200 difference.
It is. Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Yeah, one thing, and it's a little confusing to me, but we are not raising extra money to pay this tax. Our taxes haven't changed. We're not double paying taxes for any time period. We're shifting things. And we're shifting, so it gives us a bigger impact on the budget. And they're expecting us to absorb that impact because they want to shift their fiscal year. But we're not paying $80,000 in extra taxes. We're paying the same amount of taxes over the next few years. It's just that when we pay them, we have to raise it. We have to raise more of it in a given fiscal year. So this allows us to stretch it out. So the only extra cost in this is the $2,300 that we're talking about. The rest of it is just a timing thing, which, you know, most years we could cover with an undesignated fund balance, but I'm not recommending that this year. So I'm fine with the motion as it stands, but I do appreciate Jay's sentiment that borrowing money to pay taxes is probably not a good practice, but I think this is a one-shot unique circumstance, and I'm surprised they're charging us any interest because it's their benefit, not ours. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, we are where we are. Further discussion from the board? Opening it up to the public. Is there anybody who would like to speak on the motion? Seeing none, I will take a roll call vote. The motion is to, beginning in 2022, over a five-year period, to pay the extra cost in county tax and incur about $2,300 in cost to do that. Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is yes. Kind of reluctantly, but okay, thank you. 21044, Cumberland County Sheriff's Agreement. Now we don't always put this agreement in the packet, and we don't always take it up as a board, but it's been a few years since we've looked at it as a board. I'm not, unless the board really wants to, I'm not interested in going through the 40 some odd page document contract. In the past, I believe this has been entirely done just by the town administrator without bringing the board into the conversation at all. I don't think we usually approve anything because the money's approved by town meeting as long as the contract amount is within that. However, I thought it was a good opportunity. Marjorie asked me if I wanted it on the agenda, and I thought it was a good opportunity to just bring it up, and we should have eyes on it from, you know, periodically from time to time and make sure everybody's comfortable with it. So that's the purpose in tonight. And it would be fine to have a motion to approve, to authorize either the town administrator or somebody else to sign on behalf of the town. Does that summarize, Marjorie? Is that accurate, what I just said? Go ahead.
It does say that you're supposed to sign it.
Well, the chair, it says the chair. Okay, so it would be to authorize me. I don't ever remember doing that before, but maybe I did. So a motion to authorize me to sign on behalf of the town would be appropriate at this point. Jay?
It could be Marjorie. It just says by so-and-so on a date. It doesn't say chairman or anything like that.
On Article 16, it says.
Well, I was looking at the signature page.
Right.
I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the chair to sign the county sheriff's agreement.
Thank you, Jay. Is there a second?
Second.
David seconds. Is there discussion? Donna?
Yes, I went through this, and there's just a few things that I wanted to bring up because they're questions that we've had in the past. And I was surprised at some of the things that I found in here that I don't think have necessarily been happening. For example, on the first page, Article 2, Level of Service D, it says that the deputy sheriff will enforce the Chibig Island Town ordinances. And I think that we, in the past, we've had questions about where we've wanted the sheriff to do something about our ordinances, and they don't always, it doesn't always get happened. And so I just wanted to call that to everybody's attention, that that's part of this contract. And that, so that that's one thing. And then on, it's on page 3, down near the bottom, C and D, it says a formal analysis of law enforcement related trends and indicators should be prepared and presented to the town on a monthly basis by the sheriff or his designee. D says the sheriff shall provide the town with written reports in accordance with the following schedule. And on the next page is a schedule. And one is the schedule for the deputies assigned to the Chibig Island, monthly categorical summary of calls for service, and monthly summary of moving traffic stops with distinction between warnings and summons. And I have never seen those reports in the various years that I've been on this board. And I think I would really like part of this, you know, that we write a letter to the sheriff's department or something, but this is in the contract and we should have this information. And because we've had concerns in the past, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have told me this is the biggest waste of money that we have in the town. But we should be able to answer that question by saying he's had so many calls and he's given so many warnings, he's given so many tickets or whatever. I mean, I just think we need to have a little bit more of a presence if we're going to be spending almost $50,000 on this line. And it's spelled out in here some of the things that are supposed to be happening.
Okay. Anything else in specifically you want to look at, or is it mostly this report?
I think
report?
That was the end of my comments. The rest, okay. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here, but those were specific things that people have talked to me about. And I didn't realize that they were supposed to be doing those reports monthly and giving us analysis and all that kind of stuff.
And I apologize, it's 11 pages, not 40. Exaggerating slightly. Other comments from the board? David?
Yeah, I don't really know, none of us do, what level of activity or service is going to be required regarding problems that arise out of our current pandemic situation. And I raise it only to raise the question, do we feel that we're adequately covered? And if so, fine. And if not, what should we be doing?
Regarding this contract, regarding the county sheriff?
Exactly.
Yeah. So this contract, the county sheriffs are bound to respond to us anyways, whether we have this contract or not. But they don't. Whether they have a presence here on the island is their prerogative, not ours, in that scenario. But if there's an emergency, if there's something at any time of the year, they are the responding law enforcement. The purpose of this particular contract is to pay extra money to have a presence on the island, because we felt at the beginning when we became a town that having a presence during the summer here would be beneficial for public safety and in a lot of different ways. We've always had problems getting some of these specific things in the contracts worked out. The contract benefits us more than it benefits the county sheriff's office, probably. And we have very little leverage. I mean, they basically don't have to enter into a contract with us. So just sort of putting it in that context. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to get the things that are in here. And I agree with Donna that if these reports are supposed to come to us, that we should try to get them. But that's sort of the context of this particular document and how that fits into David's question. I'll leave that up to you. I just want to sort of provide some context as to what this contract did for us. So any further comments from the board? Mark?
I think that's a reasonable request that Donna has pointed out to try to get the reporting, you know, turned over to us, what the contents of those reports would look like and whether they would have any substance to them. You know, none of us really know. I have also taken numerous complaints over the years of not very strong policing, I guess would be a good way to sum it up. But I've also talked a lot to the sheriff's department myself, and I think we've heard from them when they've come down and give presentations at the hall that they're really kind of, right now at least, or maybe in the past as well, they seem to lean towards more towards a community policing style. In other words, I don't think that they intend to write many or any summonses, from what I can tell. I don't know if they're giving out written warnings or whether they're just talking to people. But I think they've been, you know, pretty clear about that, at least in the recent past. I don't know if that's what we want or what we want to ask the taxpayers to pay for. So it's kind of a balance. I still feel that there's some value in having the presence or the summer coverage, even though, you know, you can say that, you know, 35 to 40,000 of that budget is just for that with salaries and housing and transportation and so on and so forth. And another point that I might make is it probably does have an effect on our revenue as far as how many people pay registration excise tax, but Marjorie can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Meaning we get better compliance with the presence of the county sheriff?
It would appear that way.
One of the other things I was surprised about when I was reading that contract that I never knew, we're paying for a week's vacation too for the sheriff. And I had never picked up on that before.
I hadn't either, Donna. I'm sorry.
Yep. And which I'm surprised because I had part-time jobs myself in the summer, and no one ever gave me a week's vacation while I was having a part-time job. So that did surprise me. But as David mentioned, we don't know what's going to happen this summer. I'm not suggesting we not do it this year. But one thing I'm hoping that next year we have for one of our goals is that we actually look at this. We have maybe some public meetings or ask people to send in some notes, find out what kind of, maybe do some kind of a Survey Monkey or something and see how people feel about, do we have adequate, you know, is this adequate? Is it too much? Is it not enough? Or whatever. But anyway, I don't want to belabor this.
No, I think it's a good discussion. And I put it on here because we should just go with it every year. We should at least bring it up and discuss it so we all know what we're talking about. So I think it's been instructive. And I will, the only other piece that I will add is that, and like Mark, early on, I went to meetings with Kevin Joyce and other members of the County Sheriff's Office, and talked about these things. And it is kind of hard for them to find somebody who's a good fit for the island to come out for 2 months, for a 2 month contract and do what we're asking them to do. Sometimes they can pull somebody from that's normally assigned to a school system because they're free in the summer and it dovetails well. They've done that in the past, and sometimes that's not a good personality fit. We've had a couple of those. And so it's, you know, it's not a given that we can get, you know, the right person for the job in every place. We've had a couple of lucky, you know, we've had some good people in the position as well as a couple of years that were kind of write-offs. And the week's vacation is probably an enticement that they feel that they need, and I sort of remember some conversations like that, although it was a long time ago, to entice, you know, good quality people to the position. Whether we feel like it's worth the money or not is a discussion that's worth having every once in a while. So that is where we're at. Okay, so for this year, we have a motion on the table. We have a second. We've had discussion. I'm going to open it up to, not to cut the board off, you feel free to interject, but I'm going to open it up to the public. Feel free, any member of the public, to raise your hand to comment on the motion to approve this contract. Seeing no hands, I will take a roll call vote if the board's ready. Oh, I'm sorry, David, go ahead.
Just a matter of curiosity, is it Officer Mailman again this year, or do we know?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. Mr. Corson, you're muted, sir.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Thank you very much. I hope you felt that was worth the little bit of time. Okay, so that concludes regular business. Under other business, I don't have a section for correspondence on here. So under other business, I just want to mention two brief correspondences that you're all aware of, but wanted to put them out in the public arena. One was from Captain Matt Ridgway from CTC, bringing up the dredging topic again, saying that he'd recently gone out and done some measurements at a minus 1.4 tide and felt that there was a dangerous proximity of the bottom of the boat to the bottom of the ocean, right near where they dock, right near the float area there. And as I think it was David pointed out, go ahead, David.
Well, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
This is quite surprising. I can't remember the date, and maybe Marjorie knows that I wrote a letter and it went to our congressional delegation. And I think it must have been about 6 weeks ago. What do you think, Marjorie?
It was March 12th, and I did finally get some activity on that.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to point out. Literally 2 hours ago, I got a letter from a Kayla McMurray, who works in the office of Senator Susan Collins, and I can just quickly read it as an update. Good afternoon, Mr. Hill. Thank you for your letter on the town of Chabig Island and for sharing with us how pivotal the Stone Wharf Harbor is to residents and visitors of the island. Following receipt of your letter, our office reached out to the New England District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on the town's behalf. We heard from the Army Corps that there is an ongoing study of navigation needs for the town under the Army Corps Continuing Authorities Program through Section 107. We understand the project manager's plan is to complete that draft report later this summer, which will evaluate the feasibility of various alternatives for your community. We have asked that the Army Corps share that draft report with us when it is ready, which they have agreed to do. We will continue to check in to share our support with the Army Corps on behalf of the town of Chabig Island, and we'll make sure we update you as we learn more. Please don't hesitate to reach out or let us know if you have any questions. Thank you, Kayla. I was quite surprised, as I say, 2 hours ago, but that's the update.
Ongoing might be an understatement, but,
yeah,
or an overstatement. I don't know which. Like 10 years. Marjorie, do you have anything to add?
So I received a call because of David's letter. I received a call from Adam Burnett, who is now our project manager. I just continue to be so upset with these people. Chris was in the other room when I was talking to him, and she said that I didn't sound very happy. But anyway, I just, every time we talk to them, it's like, well, I think it's going to happen in the next couple of months. But, you know, as I said to him, you know, every time we talk, and this goes back, I don't know how many years, I mean, I've got another huge thick file. And I can just look at one note here that in April of 2018, we spoke with William Bartlett, who was our previous project manager, and he said, we should have a draft report to you by the end of August. And he's talking about the same report. This is August 2018. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the same report that we're now talking about in May of 2020.
Or later this summer in my correspondence.
Yeah,
and I think we started this process in 2009 or 2010. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, he did call, and I told him exactly how I felt. I did send him the previous message from Matt Ridgway talking about the dredging project. And I also sent him a copy of this most recent correspondence from Matt Ridgway. Maybe we just need to start a campaign of weekly or at least monthly barraging these people with letters
myself.
And emails.
And I can't, I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who directs these things, but it's escaping
Cable,
me.
Mark Cable.
I think that is it, yeah. So maybe at a couple of levels, and that may be the solution here, is we just need to keep doing that. And David, I appreciate you starting the ball rolling on that. So Marjorie, if you want to put together a campaign for selectmen to contact various people, whoever you think, and sort of give us some direction on what you think an effective campaign would be, I think anybody on the board would be willing to, including myself, would be willing to email or write physical letters, or I don't know what else we do. Yeah. We can hire Gennaro's cousin Guido to go up and visit the.
Or Danny the knee breaker will always.
Sorry, Gennaro. I didn't mean to do that at Gennaro's expense. That's not fair. He's not even.
Yeah, that was mean.
That was mean. He's not even here to defend himself.
Good thing Danny isn't here.
And the other topic is why I had Gennaro in my mind. Donna, did you have something on that?
No.
Okay.
Another issue.
One more thing, and then I'll. And the reason Gennaro was on my mind is because he has actively sent us just today and yesterday some emails regarding aquaculture leases that are stirring up. You'll recall there were 200 acre leases that have been in the works for some time. Gennaro's information was that those lease applications have been withdrawn, and there are two new lease applications in their place. I believe the footprint is smaller in them based on his information. And there is a pre-application meeting happening imminently at some point here with what's the name of the Summit Point Seafood Company. And the DMR, I believe the town will be participating in that. Marjorie, will you be participating in that?
I don't usually go to those pre-application meetings. They ask the harbor master to attend. I can attend if you want me to.
I don't feel strongly about it. If Gennaro's there, that's fine by me. I did notice it was a Microsoft Teams meeting, so if he needs any technical help with that, I'm pretty familiar with that product. So let him know. I did by email too. And then Jeff Putnam also has a lease, and I don't think that's anything new. There was some response on that, and I don't think it's imminent. I think he's also looking for a pre-op meeting, but I don't think the meeting itself is imminent. So that's all I had. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, can we get notices in our packets of these leases?
Of these what?
Of these leases. I haven't seen any of this information that Herb's talking about.
Yeah, it just came today, so it wouldn't have been.
Okay. I thought they had been out there for a while. Okay.
No. This is, no, I just got it today or yesterday. Actually, it's today.
Well, I just wanted to say something. This is actually in a personal matter, but I want to make sure that people have the facts, because there are so many people of anxiety on this island about COVID-19, and for good reason. And some of you have already heard this, but my daughter Rachel's been in Albania, and she is, as of tomorrow, she's leaving there on an embassy plane to London, and will be flying into Boston on Friday. And we have hired a car to go pick her up. She's coming down on the Casco Bay boat. Doug's picking her up on the back of the She's going to sit in the back of the truck, and she's going to be quarantined for 2 weeks at my brother David's house. And there's nobody there. So I just wanted everyone to have the real story in case you hear the Shabig version of the story. So,
oh, I have a funny one. Oh, sorry.
That's it. So that's what I was
trying. I got an email from Brian. Oh, he's the town administrator on Long Island. And I guess there's a rumor going around, because I've been going down to Chandler's to see what was going on down there. Janaro and I are trying to, help people get their freight and such. There's a rumor going around that I'm stopping all the passengers and turning them away from the Bay Lines. And I said, well, you could tell add to it and tell everybody that I'm from Vilehaven and I had a gun with me. But I just thought that was so typical of the islands, that I'm just down there trying to help people. And the rumor is that I'm stopping all the passengers and turning them back, that they can't come on Chabig. So.
I hope speaking you can hear my rumors, husband laughing in the background.
No, speaking of rumors, Nancy was speaking to a friend of hers on Peaks who told her that the ticket taker or the ticket seller at Casco Bay Lines was basically pre-screening people and asking why they were going out and turning them away if they didn't have a good reason. I don't know if it's true or not, but kind of interesting.
I did have one other thing I intended to bring up during Marjorie's report, but bringing it up now is fine. We put the Allstate's, who's the Jerry Douglas, right? Is that the Allstate's guy? Yep. The Allstate's paving guy off, who wanted to come out on Firehouse Road. We put him off a little while ago. And I just wanted to check in with the board to see if we still wanted to sort of maintain that strategy with him, or if we might be ready to at least schedule something with him in the future, or because we directed Marjorie in one particular way, and I just don't want to let that. We've got a couple big projects, and I don't want to let that go too far. Go ahead, David.
My view is, if the person is observing precautions as far as traveling with a face mask and avoiding contact, etc. I really, as a matter of fact, I got a call from a citizen who has a leaky roof, and I said, hey, you got to fix your leaky roof. Go ahead, get it done. And I kind of put this in the same category. If there's a public purpose that we deem to be necessary, and Firehouse Road's been sitting there for lots of years, I don't see any reason not to proceed with due caution.
Marjorie, how do you feel about it? Are you comfortable that we can?
Not fine with it. Yeah.
We can abide by the current CDC guidance and still accomplish this.
Yeah, I think I'm just on a logistical level. I need to check in with CTC more frequently. Just make sure that they have a place to park.
Yeah, that's okay. A good point.
Okay. Anybody else on the board? Go ahead,
Don. Oh, no, I don't know. I think it's a good idea to do it. Today when I was talking to Carol, they have to get the cars that are at Alice Mellon's out by the end of the month. And so yesterday at the CART meeting, she said that she thought that they may have to get to the point where contractors come over after 8 o'clock boat, because there's no room on people just aren't going to town. So that, it's just not moving space.
Yeah. Okay, so Marjorie, we have consensus that it's okay to bring all states over and view the jobs. Okay, so take that, do whatever you think is appropriate along those lines, Marjorie. Anything else under other business before we approve minutes? Go ahead,
Marjorie. I had a correspondence from Sheriff Joyce just reaching out and talking a little bit about the challenges that we're all going through and with the coronavirus response, and just asking us to reach out to him if we had any needs. Anyway, it was in an email.
Okay. Okay, thank you for letting us know that. If I can keep from sneezing, we can do the next motion. Okay. Next agenda item is to approve the minutes from April 22nd, 2020.
Anybody? So moved.
Okay, I'll take Donna as a motion and I'll take Jay as a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Any from the attendees, from the public? Seeing no hands. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. And I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Corson?
Marjorie, do you want to do the warrant?
I told them earlier that I have warrants, and now I have the liquor license for them to sign that I'll leave in the Dropbox.
Usually we have a motion for the warrant, that's all.
Yeah, we don't need it though. As long as you get three signatures, we have an ordinance that covers it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Everybody stay safe. And I want to give a quick shout out to all of the town employees that have been keeping things running. And thank you very much for your extraordinary efforts. We'll be talking more about that, I'm sure.
I have one last question, though. Where did the beard come from, Herb?
This is more of an effort to not shave than it is to grow a beard.
Is this for the duration?
You guys remember when I had a beard? You all know me when I had a beard.
I do. Well,
when the beard comes off, does that mean that the pandemic is over?
Good effort. I don't know. I had a beard for 26 years, so this might be the next phase in my life. I don't know. Thank you all. Stay safe.
Thank you, Herb.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Night.